You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
It is related by a number of saints. A particular story, that of a noble youth who, having lost by his vices the wealth left him by his father, became so poor that he was obliged to beg. He quitted his native land that he might live with less shame in a distant country where he was unknown. And on this journey, he met one day an old servant of his father, who, seeing him so cast down by the poverty he was suffering, told him to cheer up, for he would take him to a prince who was so liberal that he would provide him with everything that he needed. So now this wretch, who was an impious sorcerer, one day he took the youth with him to a wood on the borders of a moor, where he began to address some invisible person. The youth asked to whom he was speaking. And the man replied, "To the devil." And seeing the youth terrified, bade him not to fear. Continuing to speak with the devil, he said, "This youth, O my master, is reduced to extreme necessity and wishes to be restored to his former condition. If he will obey me," said the enemy, the devil, "I will make him richer than before, but in the first place he must renounce God." At this, the youth shuddered, but urged on by that cursed magician, he yielded and renounced God. "But this is not sufficient," said the demon. "He must also renounce Mary, for it is to her that we attribute our greatest losses. Oh, how many souls she has snatched from us and led back to God and saved." "Oh, this I will not do," exclaimed the youth. "Deny Mary? Why, she is my only hope. I would rather be a beggar all my life." And with these words, he left the place. And on his way, he happened to pass a church dedicated to the Blessed Mother. The unhappy youth entered it, and kneeling before her altar, began to weep and implore the Most Holy Virgin that she would obtain the pardon of his sins. The Blessed Mother immediately began to intercede with the Son for that miserable being. Jesus at first said, "But that ungrateful youth, my mother, has denied me." But seeing that his mother still continued to entreat him, at last said, "Oh, my mother, I have never refused thee anything. He shall be pardoned, since thou dost ask it." The citizen who had purchased the inheritance of that prodigal son, so to speak, was secretly present at this scene, and beholding the mercy of Mary towards that sinner, he gave him his only daughter in marriage and made him heir of all his possessions. And thus that youth recovered through the intercession of Mary the favor of God and even his temporal possessions. Can the faith of this wretch who had recourse to the Blessed Mother in all humility, can that faith be found in my parish and yours today? Good morning and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do as Catholics what we do and why we believe what we believe, all through the lens of Holy Mother Church and the writings of the Church Fathers, saints, and mystics of the Church. What an extraordinary, beautiful example this was, that even in our deepest, even while mired in the deepest pit of despair, if one has recourse to the Blessed Mother in all humility and reverence to the Queen of Heaven, she will not abandon you. She will not leave you wanting. She, the Blessed Mother, will intercede for a miserable wretch like you and I. She will intercede on our behalf with her Son.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
As we continue our journey through that most extraordinary book, The Glories of Mary, as written by St. Alphonsus Liguori, one cannot help but wonder, what would it be like in our parishes if, as opposed to many of the sermons that and homilies that we get that seem to be tinged with, if not echo, a social justice, quote, mentality. What would happen in our parishes if those homilies and sermons would even just echo the words or even take the words of this most glorious saint with respect to the true glories of Mary? That is what is lacking by and large in many of our parishes today. We'll probably pick up that theme in the future, but we will continue on in our journey here in this most extraordinary book. And here, St. Alphonsus has this to say. Quote, St. Bernard says that as a man and a woman have cooperated for our ruin, and here he is speaking of Adam and Eve, so it was fit that another man and another woman should cooperate for our restoration. And these were Jesus and his mother, Mary. Doubtless, says the saint, Jesus Christ alone was all sufficient for our redemption. Yet it was more fitting that each sex, man and woman, should take part in our redemption when both took part in our corruption. What extraordinary insight here. And again, St. Alphonsus Liguori is simply echoing the writings and sentiments of the saints and the church fathers before him. And he goes on to write, and she, the Blessed Mother, herself revealed to St. Bridget that as Adam and Eve sold the world for one apple, so her son and herself with one heart redeemed the world. God could indeed, as St. Anselm asserts, create the world from nothing. But when it was lost by sin, he would not redeem it without the cooperation of Mary. Now listen to what St. Alphonsus has to say here. He writes, Jesus was the fruit of Mary, as Elizabeth expressed it. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whoever then wishes for the fruit must go to the tree. What a most beautiful and extraordinary insight that is. If our Lord is the, as St. Elizabeth said, blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. If our Lord is the fruit of the womb of Mary, here St. Alphonsus writes, whoever then wishes for the fruit must go to the tree. That tree being Mary. Whoever wishes, he goes on to write, for Jesus must go to Mary. And he who finds Mary, he who finds that tree, certainly also finds Jesus, finds that fruit of that tree. St. Elizabeth, he goes on to write, when the Most Holy Virgin came to visit her in her house. Not knowing how to thank her, in deep humility exclaimed, "How have I merited that the Mother of my God should come to visit me?" But why, we may ask, did not Elizabeth already know that not Mary only, but Jesus also had entered her dwelling? And why then does she call herself, Elizabeth, call herself unworthy to receive the Mother, and yet said not anything, rather unworthy of receiving a visit from the Son? If you look at that passage of Scripture, her expression, her words are really directed towards the tree rather than the fruit, towards the Blessed Mother rather than our Lord. Is there something hidden here which heaven is trying to tell us? And again, as St. Alphonsus says, and why then does she, Elizabeth, call herself unworthy to receive the Mother, and not rather unworthy of receiving a visit from the Son? Well, did the saint understand that when Mary comes, she brings Jesus also. And hence it was sufficient for her to thank the Mother without having to name the Son. When the tree is there, by extension, the fruit will be there. St. Alphonsus goes on to write, she is like the merchant's ship, she being the Blessed Mother, which bringeth bread from afar. Mary is that blessed ship which brought to us from heaven Jesus Christ, the living bread that came from heaven, the true heavenly manna, one can say, to give us life eternal, as he has said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." And so hence Richard of St. Lawrence says that all those will be lost in the sea of this world who are not received into this ship that is protected by Mary. He also adds that whenever we find ourselves in danger of destruction from the temptations or passions of the present life, we ought to flee to Mary, crying quickly, "O Lady, help us, save us, if thou wouldest not see us lost." He goes on to write, if a person condemned to death may ask some favorite of the king to save him by interceding for him with his prince, why cannot we implore the Mother of God to save us by obtaining for us, through her prayers, the grace of eternal life? St. John of Damascus did not hesitate to say to the Virgin, "O pure and immaculate Queen, save me, deliver me from eternal damnation." The glorious Saint Cajetan said that we could ask for grace, but we could never obtain them without the intercession of Mary. In essence, as the saints have said throughout church history, all of God's graces flow through Mary, the tree of that fruit, if one can say. St. Alphonsus goes on to write, and St. Antoninus confirms this, expressing himself thus beautifully, "Whoever asks and wishes to obtain graces without the intercession of Mary is one who is attempting to fly without wings." For as Pharaoh said to Joseph, the land of Egypt is in thy hand. And as he sent all those to Joseph who applied to him for assistance, saying, and this is Pharaoh saying, what did he say? Go to Joseph. If you want something from me, Pharaoh in essence said, go to Joseph. And in the Latin, ite at Yosef. And so it is that God, when we supplicate him for favors, mirrors the words of Pharaoh, who said, go to Joseph. God, what does he do? He sends us to Mary. Go to Mary. Ite ad Mariam. For he has decreed, says Saint Bernard, that he will grant no favors except through the hands of Mary. You want the fruit, go first to the tree, in essence. He goes on to write, hence Richard of St. Lawrence says, our salvation is in the hands of Mary, and we Christians can more justly say to her than the Egyptians to Joseph, our salvation is in thy hand. Cassian, he says, asserts the same thing, but in stronger language. He absolutely affirms that the salvation of the whole world depends upon the favor and protection of Mary. Saint Bernardine of Siena thus addresses her, O Lady, since thou art the dispenser of all graces, and we must receive the grace of salvation through thy hand alone, then our salvation depends on thee. If you think of it, when you're reading through this extraordinary book, you will inevitably find that St. Alphonsus is basically referencing, quoting, and citing the church fathers and saints and mystics that came before him. This has been the eternal teaching of Holy Mother Church, the deposit of her faith, a truth from the beginning. And yet, how many times have we heard of this and mentioned it in such a way in our parishes during sermons and homilies? It's all right there. You want a most extraordinary homily? Just quote from the writings of these great saints and mystics. It's all there. He goes on to write this. Saint Richard of Lawrence says rightly that as a stone falls as soon as the earth is removed from it, in like manner a soul, if the support of Mary is taken away, will fall first into sin and then into hell. Saint Bonaventure adds that God will not save us without the intercession of Mary, and goes on to say that as an infant cannot live without its nurse, so no one without the protection of Mary can be saved. Therefore, he exhorts us in this way, let thy soul thirst for devotion to Mary. Preserve it always, never abandon it until you arrive in heaven and receive her maternal benediction. Who, says Saint Germanus, would ever know God if it were not through thee, O most holy Mary? Who would be saved? Who would be free from peril? Who would receive any favor if it were not through thee, O Mother of God? O Virgin Mother, O full of grace, if thou didst not open the way, no one would be free from the sting of the flesh and of sin. What beautiful, extraordinary sentiments here expressed by St. Alphonsus Liguori, which all too often in many parishes today, priests and bishops remain silent upon. It's all here. Rather than parroting the gospel according to this world of social justice, rather than parroting the gospel according to Oprah, so to speak, we should be, as the saints of old have said, ad Iesum per Mariam, to Jesus through Mary.
Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, baruch haba b'shem.
You are listening to Christian Roots, here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zampanti.
In chapter 6 of the book, The Glories of Mary, St. Alphonsus has this to say. So great is the authority of mothers over their children that although they may be monarchs, having absolute dominion over all the persons in their kingdom, yet their mothers can never become subject to them. A very interesting thought here, that even with respect to earthly monarchs and kings, there is a very, out of all the people, out of all the subjects in a king's kingdom, there will always be one in particular which will hold a special place in the heart of a king, and that is his mother. And if that is true with respect to earthly monarchs, how much more true would that be for the King of Kings, our Lord, when it comes to his mother, the Blessed Mother? And just to think of it, the King of Creation has willed it that his mother be our mother. Our Lord has given us the Queen of Heaven to be our mother and our guide and our intercessor before him. What a most extraordinary gift. Apart from the gift of his precious body and blood, what greater gift can the King of Kings give us than even his own mother? And one can say that our Lord has given us his mother so that she can become the ladder with which we can climb to heaven, to that true kingdom for which we were created for. St. Alphonsus goes on to write, "It is true that Jesus is now in heaven, for he is seated there at the right hand of the Father, even as man. And as St. Thomas explains it, by reason of the hypostatic union with the person of the Word and has supreme dominion over all, and even over Mary. Yet it will always be true that at the time when our Redeemer lived on this earth, he was pleased to humble himself and make himself subject to Mary." And that, in essence, is made quite clear, especially when reading the Gospel of Luke. He goes on to write, "St. Ambrose even says that Jesus Christ, having deigned to make Mary his mother, was obliged as her son, while here on earth, in essence, to obey her. And therefore, observes St. Richard of Lawrence, it is said of the other saints that they are with God, but of Mary alone can it be said that not only was it her lot to be subject to the will of God, but that God was also subject to her will while here on earth. While when he was born in the manger, and raised by the Blessed Mother, and with Saint Joseph, if you think of it. And speaking of humility, think of it with respect to the Holy Family. In that holy family, you had the Word made flesh, our Lord, and the Blessed Mother, the Queen of Heaven, and you also had Saint Joseph. But in all humility, while here on earth, the least of the three, Saint Joseph, was the shepherd over the other two. What a most beautiful and extraordinary thought. And if one thinks of it, what made the Holy Family holy was because Jesus was at the center of that family. You want to make your family holy, and so it is that you should mirror the Holy Family and have our Lord at the center of that family. And the Blessed Mother right next to him. And again, as St. Ambrose here says, even as St. Ambrose says, that Jesus Christ, having deigned to make Mary his mother, was obliged as her son to her obey her. Wow. Of the Virgin Mary, it may be said that the Divine Lamb followed her on this earth, having become subject to her. And I guess it brings to mind that children's song, Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, that lamb was sure to go. What a most beautiful sentiment and thought that is. He goes on to write, hence we may say that though Mary is in heaven and can no longer command her son, yet her prayers will ever be the prayers of a mother, and therefore most powerful to obtain whatever she asks. Mary, says St. Bonaventure, has this privilege with her son, that she is most powerful to obtain by her prayers whatsoever she will. And wherefore? Precisely for the reason, because the prayers of Mary are the prayers of a mother. And therefore, says St. Peter Damian, again, St. Alphonsus always echoing, quoting, referring to the writings of the saints and mystics before him. Because the prayers of Mary are the prayers of a mother, and therefore, says St. Peter Damian, the Virgin has all power in heaven as on earth, being able to raise to the hope of salvation even the most despairing. And then he adds that when the mother asks any favor for us of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son has so great regard for the prayers of Mary and so great a desire to please her that when she prays, she seems to command rather than request, and to be a mistress rather than a handmaiden. Thus Jesus would honor this, his dear mother, who has honored him so much in her life, by granting her immediately whatever she asks and desires. Saint Germanus beautifully confirms this by saying to the Virgin, thou art Mother of God, omnipotent to save sinners, and needest no other recommendation with God, since thou art the Mother of true life. Saint Bernardine of Siena does not hesitate to say that all obey the commands of Mary, even God himself, signifying by these words that God listens to her prayers as though they were commands. Hence, Saint Anselm thus addresses Mary, "The Lord, O Holy Virgin, has so highly exalted thee that by his favor thou canst obtain all possible graces for thy servants, for thy protection is omnipotent. Thy help is omnipotent, O Mary." Yes, Mary is omnipotent, adds Richard of St. Lawrence, since the Queen, by every law, must enjoy the same privileges as the King. For as the power of the Son and Mother are the same, the Mother, by the omnipotent Son, is made omnipotent. As St. Antoninus says, God has placed the whole church not only under the patronage, but also under the dominion of Mary. That's why it's also always been said, if you're looking for the Son, look for the Mother. The Mother will lead you to her Son. The Blessed Mother will lead you to the King of Kings. He goes on to write, "As the Mother then must have the same power as the Son, justly was Mary made omnipotent by Jesus, who is omnipotent. It being, however, always true that whereas the Son is omnipotent by nature, the Mother is so by grace. And her omnipotence consists in this, that the Son denies nothing that the Mother asks. As it was revealed to Saint Bridget, who heard Jesus one day addressing Mary in these words, 'O my Mother, thou knowest how I love thee. Ask from me then whatever thou dost desire, for there is no demand of thine that will not be graciously heard by me.'" It is a sad fact if you think of it, but it seems quite evident that in the church today, there is a distinct de-emphasis placed on Marian devotions. It seems that as a church as a whole, many Catholics have far less recourse to the Blessed Mother than Catholics of old. It seems like in our culture today, not only have we done away, discarded, or placed in the closet these great writings from these great saints of old, this extraordinary patrimony of the writings of the saints, fathers, and mystics of the church, it seems like the church of the 20th and 21st century has placed this great patrimony in the closet and closed the door. And it seems, by and large, that in the church today, if one were to look through many parishes, that is also mirrored by a distinct absence of devotion to the Blessed Mother, which then also becomes echoed in a distinct irreverence and casual attitude to her Son, our Eucharistic Lord. It seems that the only time rosaries are said in churches today are by a handful of old ladies here and there who gather on one day or morning here and there throughout the church year. It seems like saying the rosary has gone the way of the dodo in our culture today. If you want the fruit, look for the tree. He goes on to write here, with respect to these writings, even when she was living on this earth, the only thought of Mary, after the glory of God, was to relieve the wretched. Think of that. Even when she was living on this earth, the only thought of Mary, of the Blessed Mother, after the glory of God, was to relieve what? The wretched. Relieve who? You and me throughout the ages. And he goes on to write, and we know that then she enjoyed already the privilege of obtaining whatever she asked. And this we know from what took place at the nuptials of Cana of Galilee, when the wine failed and the Blessed Virgin, compassionating the distress and mortification of that family, asked the Son to relieve them by a miracle, making known to him this want: they have no wine. And our Lord answered, woman, what is that to thee and to me? My hour is not yet come. Observe that although the Lord appeared to refuse this favor to his mother by saying, of what importance is it of, O woman, to me and to thee, that the wine has failed, it does not become me now to perform any miracle, as the time has not arrived, the time of my preaching, when with signs I must confirm my doctrine. Yet notwithstanding this, Mary, as if the Son had already granted her the favor, said to the attendants, fill the water pots with water. Come, fill the water pots, and you will be consoled. And Jesus Christ, indeed, to please his mother, changed that water into the best wine. But how is this? If the time appointed for miracles was the time of preaching, how could it be anticipated by the miracle of the wine, contrary to the divine decree? Nothing, it may be answered, was done contrary to the divine decree. For although generally speaking the time for signs had not come, yet from eternity God had established by another general decree that nothing the Divine Mother could ask should be denied her. And therefore Mary, well acquainted with her privilege, although her Son seemed to have them set aside her petition, said notwithstanding that the water pots should be filled, as though the favor was already granted. What a most beautiful and extraordinary thought this is. The power reflected in humility and love that the Mother has over the Son. This power that Mary has over her Son is best expressed through the word love. That beautiful love that a mother has for her Son, perfectly expressed, one could say. One can rightly say of the love that the Blessed Mother, as the love that flows between that of Mary and her Son, the love between the tree and its fruit. O Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. St. Joseph, pray for us. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless.
Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.